How's it going?
Good, good, good. What's up with you?
Nothing much. Trying to get adjusted to what's happening in the world.
Thought you were about to say trying to get a job.
No.
Say what?
Yeah, I'm good on that front. The world is opening up. And so I don't know what your social media timeline looks like, but for my social media timeline, people are outside in a major way.
I went to New York City recently. We don't really go to the city like that anymore. You know, even though we have an office in the city.
Yeah, we just haven't been in our office, in our New York office, in a really long time, you know, of course, due to COVID.
So I almost got in a little fisticuffs in the streets the other day.
Yeah.
Dude just walks up to me yelling, "We don't need masks anymore." Mm. I'm like, dude, you can mind your business.
So he did not have a mask
on? He did not have a mask. He's mask shaming.
He's in your face specifically?
Yeah, he comes at me, of all people.
Were there a lot of people outside? Like, I know New York has been pretty empty. So,
no,
like, were you one of the few people outside, or was...
There were a lot of people out at that time. And for some reason, maybe because I was the only Black person out there with the mask on, and there weren't a lot of Black people around. I don't know. I can't say it's race. All I know is that I wasn't the one that day.
So what happened?
He just...
No, like, what did you do? Because... For me, we are different, and Alan is a lot more amicable. He is the more amicable one of our duo. I don't think I would have even considered responding with words.
Yeah.
I would have at least pushed him, like, you're in my personal space, and now I have to push you out of my personal space.
He wasn't in push range.
So okay.
He was in curse out range, and so my Christianity took a pause for a minute, and he caught some choice words.
I thought he was, like, in your face, like,
no.
Chest to chest.
He walks past...
Mm-hmm.
He waits till he's like 5 feet in front.
Okay.
Turns around.
So he didn't really want that action.
You know we don't need masks anymore.
So he made sure he had enough distance for it not to get too real.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was, you know, all right. That's different.
I think it's emblematic of what's happening right now. It's this notion that there are some people who are just politically against any sort of thing that is...
Yeah, but it's actually none of anybody's business. Like, this is my thought, and this is with the vaccine and everything. Like, you can do what you want to do. You can get vaccinated or not get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may put parameters around what you're able to do in people's establishments, right? Like, if someone owns a restaurant, this is not like it's my free will to do what I want to do. No, it's not your free will in somebody else's establishment. If rules are put in place in certain countries, in certain municipalities... That's, you just can't operate in those spaces. But you can choose to do what you want to do, and you will have to deal with the limitations that are available to you. I don't think you need to run up on me and tell me what I need to do. I don't need to be in your business about what you're going to do. But I think people are getting very sensitive around this. Like, I've actually had something like this happen in my friend group where, like, they just felt like, you know, vax shamed. Even though nobody was talking to them and nobody was talking negatively about getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. But so I'm sorry that happened to you.
But what's funny, your explanation that was very eloquent just now, I summed that up in like about 5 seconds of words.
Yeah, no.
Mind your business.
Yeah, I was going to say,
like,
in that
do
situation,
what you gotta do.
It's mind your mother in business.
That's exact. How'd you know exactly what I said?
Because you're Black.
Okay.
And that's how we respond in these tense situations. But sorry that happened to you.
That's okay.
Again, I'm glad in my mind, when you first said it, like, somebody, like, bumped you and was, like, chest to chest in your face, breathing in your face, like, yo, you don't need these masks.
It wasn't that close. What's funny, though, he circles the block and comes up on the other side of the street saying the same thing.
To somebody else?
To me.
To you? Yeah, I think he liked you. I think this is a little bit more like evacuation. If there's other people on the street with masks on, like, I think he was just feeling you.
But it's all good. Whatever. But that's what's going on in the world. I think the world's reopening, to your point. And I think there's some people who are either anti-mask, anti-vaccine, COVID is a hoax. That contingent still
business.
Exists.
Keep it over there.
And, you know, that's it.
I don't know. I don't know how that's... I don't know how that's going to work out, but I will tell you, like I said earlier, my friends are outside. Like my friend, I don't know what it is about this past week and a half, but it went from like, you know, hey, in the house, cooking dinner at home. Everybody was at every bar, every party, every club, every anything in close proximity. I get it. Like, most of my friends are vaccinated, and so they're completely feeling very comfortable at this point. But it was like somebody flipped a switch and nobody told me. I didn't know. First of all, nobody told me, and I wasn't invited to any of these activities that I'm seeing on my timeline.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's where it is. Do you feel bad that you weren't invited?
I don't feel bad that I wasn't invited. Yeah, no, I don't feel bad that I wasn't invited because I'm planning my own outside activities.
Okay.
But no, be clear. Probably for the next, you know, I'm vaccinated. I've been vaccinated for a couple of weeks now. For the next 3 to 5 months of warm weather, like, you can invite me to cut your grass with scissors and I'm coming. Like, I'm coming. I'm dressed up. I have so many outfits that have not gotten the shine that they deserve to receive.
That's funny.
I'm ready to see people. I'm ready to be outside. And I'm not the most personable person. I am social, but I'm not the most personable person. I am outside. Invite me to the opening of your fence in your backyard.
And you're there.
And I'm there.
That's funny.
After that, like after that 6 months, it's probably going to be over for me and I'm going back into my normal shell. But right now, I am ready for all invitations to all things.
Okay. All right. Cool. So we're talking today about none of that.
None of that.
Bidenomics.
Bidenomics.
Yeah.
Are we liking Biden yet? Like, how are we feeling? Like, I don't really mean from a political answer, guys. But like, I know for most of us, we've taken that deep breath. Trump is gone, at least for now. You know, the White House feels like a calmer place.
Mm-hmm.
Politics, while they may not be doing exactly what you want them to do, seems like a more political place versus just the scandalized shit show that it's been for the 4 years prior. We have a lot of work to do. A lot of things aren't right. But like, just feels like the waters are a bit calm, just even in how we just receive news and just like what's happening.
Yeah.
So I wonder if people are just feeling, you know, I like how this Biden era is just rolling out from the perspective of like, I'm not concerned about him having like codes to atomic bombs and things like that.
Yeah. I think that it depends on who you ask. If you're someone who did not vote for Biden or was against Biden, you probably feel unsafe and scared and upset. Because in our client base, we have some of these folks, God bless them. They feel like they're under attack. They feel like, you know, things are changing in a bad way. But for folks who voted for him and for folks who I would say are more middle of the road politically, I think those people are a lot more comfortable. I think it's you know, let's wait and see how things go. I know I will say Biden has been incredibly active on a number of different political items. I think, you know, the criticism is maybe there's some things he should be doing that he's not. But we're going to talk today about what he is doing.
Yeah.
And how it impacts our wallets, your bank account,
yeah,
and the world.
Right. Because that is what we do. We talk about finances. We don't talk about politics.
No, we don't. We don't. Yeah, Biden has rolled out the American Rescue Plan, the American Jobs Plan. He's talking about the American Families Plan. And there's also hints of a Made in America plan.
Okay, so we are America. It's America. I think somebody needs to tell him that. We know you're talking to us. You do not have to put America in everything. We are aware that you only have control over the United States of America.
Yeah, I
think he might as well call it the Biden American Rescue Plan, the Biden American Jobs Plan, the Biden American Families Plan, and Biden Made It in America Plan. Like, we're clear.
I think Biden's also gonna be the title sponsor of the Jay-Z Made in America Tour 2022.
Yeah,
anything with America in it, he's on it.
Be clear, Jay-Z's not taking that sponsorship. I have an inside track to know, like, he don't need that.
He wants
he's good
spot,
on that.
Though. Biden still wants it.
Shout out to President Obama if the Obamas want to get involved.
Yeah.
That's different.
So a lot of plans have been laid out.
Yeah.
And a lot of this stuff, I think, is revolutionary relative to these last 4 years. And so we should talk about
it. Yeah, because I think people hear these things. I think, you know, you hear about these plans, you hear about these strategies, you don't exactly know how they apply to you. Sometimes they concern you. Sometimes you're like, oh, I hope it works out. I hope maybe it's okay. But we like to feel like it's our job to kind of be responsible for making sure you understand what's going on. And you make sure that you take advantage of whatever is available to you and or you protect yourself from some changes that may happen that may negatively impact you.
Absolutely. So before we start talking about Bidenomics specifically, let's just talk about the world. I mean, right now the world is trying to reopen.
Yeah.
One of the big things that is rolling out is this vaccine, not just in the US, but globally. Like, did you know, Tiffany, that there are 6 different vaccines? I know we always talk about the big three.
The big three. Or I don't know if people feel like it's the big 2.5. Y'all keep shading the Johnson & Johnson one. So maybe it's the big 2.5. I did not know there were 6, though. Yeah. I knew of four.
Yeah. A lot of other countries are rolling out their own. Like China's got 2 that they're working on. Russia's got 1. India's got 1.
Are they the same with a different name? Or are they just completely different vaccines?
I think everybody started from scratch. Okay. And they tried to get their vaccine done. And some of them use similar technology and some use different technology. Some are a lot more effective. I think the U.S. ones are the most effective. And there are countries that won't rock with it because the U.S. made it.
Yeah. And I also know for us in this country, we are not accepting some of the other vaccines. So
correct.
Like for people who want to come into the country, if you have one of these other vaccines, that's not suitable enough for you to come into the United States.
Absolutely. It's also becoming clear that there's an income and wealth disparity around the vaccinations.
For sure.
Globally. Like I've heard anecdotally that in the U.S., a lot of the wealthier communities got the vaccine first, specifically in places like Florida. Now, what's funny is that for folks like me who was initially skeptical of the vaccine, I'm like, oh, so they're giving it to the wealthy first. Now I want it. Like now, right. If they're willing to take it, maybe I should take it.
Here's my thing always. Like, we cannot be under the assumption, and I am vaccinated and I am pro-vaccine. But like Alan, I was extremely skeptical at first. I'm never convinced that we're all getting the same vaccine. Like what the wealthy people were getting, like at first when President Obama was like, I'm vaccinated. Good for you, bro. I know I'm not getting your vaccine. I'm not getting what they gave you. So you're like, it doesn't really apply.
It's like the Magic Johnson HIV treatment. Like they get something a little better.
Right. No one's gotten the magic treatment. You know what I mean? So like, I don't need the pomp and circumstance of watch me get vaccinated. Like, open up that syringe and let me know what that one was. And if we're confirming I'm getting that one and I know for sure I'm not, like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. You might be getting the same one.
No.
That Obama got.
No
if
way.
He got the same manufacturer, you
not
might be.
Not even slightly.
Let's not even speculate on
not
that.
Even
but
slightly.
One thing that is a fact is that, so let's assume the vaccine works. Let's assume that the vaccine is a positive towards fighting COVID. Let's just assume that for a minute. The countries that are getting this vaccine are the higher income countries on average. There are a lot of really poor countries who won't see a vaccine until next year.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. So I've had this kind of affect me a little bit. I was planning a trip to South America and my trip was completely booked. Accommodations, flights, my friends, we were all locked in. And then all of a sudden, all our flights got canceled. And the very next morning, all these articles appeared where all the major U.S. airlines were no longer flying into South America because they're not getting vaccinated at a rate that is proficient.
Yeah.
And so United Airlines, American Airlines, and Delta Airlines not only canceled flights, but suspended any flights into specific parts of South America.
Yeah.
And what it did for me, it put into perspective what's happening in the United States and what's happening in these more developed countries is absolutely what's not happening in some of these other places.
Yeah, yeah. There is a World Health Organization program called COVAX where the wealthier countries are distributing to the poorer countries. But again,
that's not happening.
80% of the vaccines that have been distributed worldwide are going to either high-income or middle-income countries. And only 0.2% are going to the really, really low-income countries. And the sad thing about that is I was reading an article about a guy who works in South America at near a major tourist attraction. And because of the lack of tourism, like economically, his whole family's devastated.
Yeah.
Like that's the sad thing, is that like our tourism actually funds a lot of communities across the world. And if those folks are not getting access to this vaccine, then we might not be able to go there. And there are people who are, you know, going to lose out based on that. The crazy thing about this vaccine, if you think about it, like nobody paid for this vaccine. Not us. Like the government is paying.
Somebody paid. We going to pay. Bottom line, we're going to pay for this vaccine. We are paying for this vaccine. Okay. Come hell or high water, it will be in one of these Biden America said plans. We're not paying today. It's on layaway. That's all. The vaccine is on layaway. We gonna pay for this vaccine.
All I'm saying is that the government is paying.
Use a lie.
And then we're gonna pay through our taxes.
We gonna pay. And we don't know how much we're paying. We're just getting it. We're just getting it and just asking for more. Y'all, wait till we find out the price of this vaccine per person. Oh, we're going to be pissed. We're going to be like, listen, I didn't really need it. You know what I mean? Like,
I could have been good with the first shot.
Right. It's just me and my husband. I could have got it. He wouldn't have needed to get it because I'm not like, no, we're paying for this vaccine and that payday is
going to
be real.
It's like going to a restaurant where they don't have prices on the bill and then the bill shows
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Market price. We know what that MP is what it says. When you order seafood and it says MP, that means market price. Whatever we feel like charging today is how much it's going to cost. You'll find out when the check comes.
That's funny.
The COVID vaccine is MP for all of us.
That's funny. So the goal for this vaccine program is to get to the point where there is something called herd immunity. Herd immunity is the concept that at some point, enough people are vaccinated and enough people have recovered from the vaccine and have developed antibodies that'll keep them from getting sick again, that the folks who have not gotten vaccinated are now protected.
Yeah.
Right. And so there is this hope that we will be there this year in the U.S.
Wow.
Globally.
I don't know about this year.
That's the hope. That's the hope. And so our economy is starting to reopen. You know, there's still a long way to go. I mean, I will say anecdotally, when I go out into our local community in New Jersey, like our malls are completely packed. Like it's like Christmas out there.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that?
I haven't been to the malls. I really haven't been to the malls. I go to the grocery store locally, like in my local town. I have not been to the malls. I haven't been to like any major shopping centers. I go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Everything else, I'm still online. I'm still like just having it delivered to my house. I don't feel the need to take the risk.
But what about flying? You've flown recently.
Oh, yes. I've been flying.
Okay.
The flights have been flown and I'm flying them.
But the airport, is it getting...
The airport is crazy. Yeah. I will say the airports are out of pocket, the amount of people. I mean, I get it. People are restless and they're finally able to get away, especially this most recent season. It was spring break for a lot of kids. And so parents were like, we have to get the hell out of here. We have to get the hell out of this house. So the airports have been crazy. I will say, though, the actual planes have not been horrible. Like Delta, I have found that Delta and United are still doing a really great job with either keeping a middle seat open or trying to be mindful of social distancing in seating. Like American Airlines, they're just packing these planes to full capacity.
Yeah.
So the planes have made me feel a bit more comfortable than the actual airport.
Yeah. So TSA volume had dropped by like 80 or 90% during COVID. It's still down. It's only down about 44% now. It had been down, like I said, 80%. And so we're seeing an uptick. The crazy thing, though, and I'm seeing this across a lot of businesses, the airport's not ready for all these people.
No.
Because a lot of the businesses are closed inside the airport.
And just
a lot
TSA,
of lines are long.
Yeah, the TSA lines are longer and slower than they've ever been before. Like for me, I would think if we're thinking about the economy, we want people to get their jobs back. There is a demand. You know, maybe not full capacity demand, but more than it originally was. And it just seems like they are not keeping up with the pace at which the economy is starting to open.
But I will make a controversial statement here on air. You heard it here first. We've got a labor shortage in this country. There's a shortage. I know we've talked a lot about all the jobs that were lost. There are a lot of jobs that are going unfilled.
Yeah.
There are many people who are afraid to go back to work for fear of getting sick.
Or they can't go back to work because their children are still getting schooled at home and there's no one there to watch them.
And then there's also people who, you know, they're getting a nice little check.
They're riding on that PPP unemployment.
Yeah, they're getting some unemployment. They've got some stimulus money. Their spending has gone down. And so economically, they haven't had this urge to go out and work again. But what I'm finding is a lot of businesses are struggling. Like, we have a few different businesses, and one of our businesses in particular struggling to find people to fill the job openings.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the challenges we've had as a country is for the last year, like because of COVID, we closed our borders completely. And what's interesting is that because of that, we often talk about immigrants. There are folks who think immigrants are taking all the good jobs.
But
we had a whole year where immigration was basically shut down. And there were a lot of jobs that did not get filled because our labor force wasn't prepared to fill them. And that, I think, is going to continue to play out. And I think it's going to be a challenge to the reopening of the economy.
Yeah. I mean, all of this is going to be a challenge. I laugh when you say, like, our borders are closed, only because I've traveled internationally recently. And our borders are easy as hell to get through. Just so you're clear, like I've traveled international recently. I've rebooked. South America got canceled, but I knew all the parameters to get into South America. I've since rebooked a new trip to another international destination. All of these other places have such strict rules to get into their countries. You have to do a lot. You have to get approved by the tourism board within 3 days prior to, and there's a number of hoops that you have to jump through to get approved. And your approval lasts for 24 hours. So you better not delay that flight. Like, you better get on and it better work out. To get back into the United States, you barely have to do anything. Like, all you have to do is take a COVID test, not a PCR test. It could be a rapid test. You could take the test yourself. Mm. Like, it could be one of these at-home tests. Like, here, show up real quick, come through. Like, so it's extremely easy to get into the United States.
But you're
right
a citizen.
Now. True.
Yeah, I'm just saying, as a non-citizen,
I hear you. I know what you
it's
mean.
It's been a lot harder to get into
the
country.
I know what you mean, but
yeah.
I hear you.
Okay.
All right, so we are talking about Bidenomics. We have not gotten there yet.
Almost there.
In the next segment, though, we're going to break it down. Stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
This is Ray King, COO of the North Star and co-host of the podcast, Woke at Work. We've heard from so many of you about how much Woke at Work has meant to you and how much you're looking forward to new episodes. Well, season 2 is available for you to listen to on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. And new this season, we have video episodes available exclusively to our members at the North Star. Want to get each episode a week early and actually watch our guest interviews? Head over to www.thenorthstar.com today to become a member for as little as $10 a month. Thank you so much for your support of Black-owned, women-led media.
So we are back.
Yes.
We did a whole bunch of talking about COVID and being outside and vaccines and how expensive this vaccine is going to be. Listen, y'all, just do me a favor. When you get your tax bill this year, just look if there's like a very vague line item that you've had to pay for. Again, it might say MP, market price.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at your insurance bill. That's what's probably going to happen. Like, all of our insurance is going to go up and we're not going to know why. And it's going to be to pay for the vaccine. Or, and I know we're not supposed to talk about this anymore, we are going to get on to Bidenomics. What's going to happen is, like, if we have to get these booster shots, we're going to have to pay for these booster shots. Mm. And they're going to be a grip. That's probably what's going to happen.
Okay.
Like, it's like a drug. The first one is free.
Oh my gosh.
But to keep it going, to keep the party going.
So I found out that my partner is a conspiracy theorist.
I'm not. Listen.
None of this is based in any sort of
not at all.
Facts.
No,
and people are looking at us for financial advice.
Yeah, none of this has to do with anything real. I haven't seen this anywhere. This is just my creative thoughts.
All right.
I do know
very creative.
That the government doesn't pay for our medical coverage. And so at some point we will be paying for this vaccine.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that, yeah. Tiffany. So we're talking about the reopening of the economy, and then again, we're going to get into this notion of Bidenomics. I want to give a couple stats, right? Because I think these stats really illustrate what the future of America looks like. Because on one hand, we're seeing, you know, again, TSA volume. TSA meaning the what does that stand for?
The Security Administration?
TSA is airport volume. So
Transportation Security Administration.
Okay. So on one hand, we're seeing airport volume go up. We're also seeing Uber Eats volume go down as people leave their home to at least pick up the food themselves.
That is a real thing. That I'm ready to go get my food.
We're seeing department store sales are up 72%. Yet we're also seeing that video conferencing is still up 120% from last year. Office entry is down 60%. So like this new America, this new post-COVID reality might be a hybrid of what life was like before COVID and during COVID. Like meaning I might work from home more often, but leave the house to go eat. But I might do a video conference so I don't have to travel, but instead I'll travel for vacation.
Listen, yeah. Now, I mean, all of these things I think matter and these factors are important.
Gym attendance is up 15%. But listen, at the same time, Peloton's numbers are going through
the roof.
Shout
out to my Peloton group. Shout out to BGM. If there's any BGM ladies listening, appreciate you. We're on this leaderboard.
That stands for Black None Girls Are business. Magnificent.
Listen, we are, okay? It's a Peloton group for Black women. But yeah, no, Peloton sales are up. And so is the gym. Honestly, you know what? I appreciate all of these things because what it says to me, and I know there's like some superficial buying happening in here, but what it says to me is that maybe COVID has exposed to a lot of people that we just need to be healthier just cause.
Okay. I hope so.
I hope so.
I hope so for sure. So let's get into Bidenomics for a minute. So all of these plans, so there's been so many plans laid out. The first one we did a show about, the American Rescue Plan. We talked about that one already.
Yeah.
That was the stimulus checks and it was the extension of unemployment. That was about $1.8 trillion. If you add that to the stimulus that we have under the Trump administration, you're talking about $4 trillion that was devoted to our economy after COVID. To put that in perspective, per person, adjusted for inflation, that's twice as much as the government spent per person to get out of the Great Depression.
Yeah, so during the Great Depression, it was $6,311. And so what we are saying that this recovery plan adds up to about $12,390 per person.
And that's adjusted for inflation.
Now, I know what our listeners are saying. I ain't getting no damn $12,000. Right? I will tell you, I don't know where it's at. These numbers are impressive to me. I don't know who got them.
Well, hold on. You got more than $12,000 because your businesses got PPP.
Shout out to PPP. Now I will say all now, right. Okay, y'all, that's where the money is. That's where the money resides.
Tiffany got it.
The money resides with PPP. And I will tell you, for those business owners who didn't apply, you should have. And I think there's still opportunity for you to apply today. I know it has been put out there that, like, you know, a lot of people aren't able to get PPP. In the beginning, we were working with people one-on-one and make sure they got their PPP money. And we were extremely successful. We were 100% successful, actually.
Yes.
But PPP really not only saved our businesses, but we did see it save a lot of businesses and a lot of Black-owned businesses. So that is a very true statement.
Absolutely. So you owe these people their money.
I don't owe nobody nothing. If you still going to Zips to get your dry cleaning done, shout out to PPP.
So the new plan that's been rolled out in March was the American Jobs Plan. Now, this one is a bit controversial. This one is not law yet. But this is a plan to create millions of jobs. I'm literally reading from the White House website. So the plan is to create millions of jobs, rebuild our country's infrastructure, and position us to outperform China.
That's that's a little controversial for me. Okay.
We got to beat China.
Right. Like, not only is it wild general, like, we going to do good and bump China. Like, it seems a little targeted. And I need you to focus on our country. Like, you don't need to focus on trying to beat anybody else. Like, it's COVID. It's been a global pandemic. We need to just focus on doing better for us. And I need more detail. I don't need the like it's literally Kendrick Lamar, like, we gonna be all right. And then like bump China.
No, bump some other rapper.
Yeah, like, yeah,
it'd be like if you were
a diss record and Wild General.
Like if you said in school, my goal this school year is to get an A, and as long as I do better than Tanisha, then I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. It's a little petty. It's a little petty in that plan.
But there are a lot of specific items that are rolled out in this plan. So the big focus has been on green energy, electric vehicles, clean manufacturing, highways, broadband, schools. There's a lot of good things in here. I'm going to list out a couple of them, okay, since you said it wasn't specific enough.
Thank you.
Beat China wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an investment in clean drinking water.
Which is long overdue.
Especially in places like Flint.
Long overdue. And places like Newark. Like there are several major hubs that we don't talk about that have been suffering for years. And so that needs major attention.
An investment in high-speed broadband, especially in rural areas.
Yes, I do know they are talking about rolling out. I know in New York, they've already rolled out where internet is available for $5.99 a month for low-income households because we are considering internet a mandatory utility.
Yeah, I think it is because that's how you access all your information.
Everything. So that needs to be rolled out, period.
Porn, all that.
I'm sorry. Listen.
Everyone needs access to
that. You can get
that
on your phone, right? Like, is that, I mean, aren't people getting that?
You need broadband for that.
Listen.
You need some kind of internet.
You don't need internet for the phone.
I'm saying everyone doesn't have access to even 4 bars on their phones.
Listen, understood. Get on somebody else's phone and y'all huddle up and do that if that's what y'all need to do.
In privacy. I think people like to watch that in privacy.
I don't know. That ain't my ministry.
It's American right. Okay. Other aspects of the plan are retrofitting homes and commercial buildings, just modernizing them from schools to childcare facilities to veterans' homes and federal buildings. I think that's important. I have an uncle who's in a veterans' home, and it's bleak in there. One day I was there. Would you believe they served, you know how like there's asparagus? There's like the tips of the asparagus, mm-hmm. which I like, and I don't really eat the stems like that.
Oh, you bougie.
Yeah, call me bougie.
Okay.
They were serving the stems of asparagus and calling it Brussels sprouts. And they were brown. And I'm like,
maybe they just didn't know. Maybe they're not hiring to the best of their ability.
But
this person wasn't
aware. Our veterans deserve better.
Our veterans deserve Brussels sprouts. Listen, like
actual
Brussels sprouts. And so if that's a problem, Biden, get the veterans the Brussels sprouts.
He also wants to invest in the care economy, creating jobs and raising wages for essential home care workers. And I think this is big because we've got an aging of America issue. Like we've got a lot of folks who are getting older and our nursing homes aren't big enough to help them all. And sometimes people will get better care from home care workers.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big one.
Other things that are included are just repairing American roads and bridges. I think that's very important. Shout out to Baltimore with the potholes in Baltimore are profound. But you know, just
in a good way or a bad
way? No, in a horrible way. Like Baltimore would tear your tires up real fast. I will say where we live, like they're always repaving our roads. Like my road just got repaved last week. It was fine. Like, but
that's Biden for you.
That's not sure. Sure, Biden. Thank you, Biden. But you could have you could have used that in other places that I know probably needed it. But repairing our roads and bridges and just our infrastructure is super important.
Yeah. So that's a quick summary, but there's a lot of clean energy stuff built in. Like the government wants a full fleet of electric vehicles. They want a lot more solar panels. Like there's a lot of money out of the $2 trillion, over a half a trillion is devoted to green initiatives. And I'll tell you, it's also making a lot of investors think more about Tesla and solar companies as a part of their investment portfolio.
Yeah. Now I know the American Families Plan is really expected to focus on childcare, universal kindergarten, free community college, and paid family leave. That's kind of suggested that that's going to cost around $1 trillion.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think the issue is that right now, the Democrats semi-control the Senate, completely control the House, and clearly control the presidency. So the reason why a lot of these plans haven't been enacted yet is that because they semi-control the Senate, they need a certain number of Republicans to get on board. And so I think there's a lot of good things in that American Families Plan. Like this notion of free community college, I think is a game changer. I don't know if it's going to happen, though.
Yeah. I mean that's the job, right? Like that's what government and politics is about, is to figure it out. And I don't know what we are going to get out of it. But to your point, it's a really good plan. And so hopefully we get most of the things that are included in it.
when it comes to education, I just think colleges cost too much money.
Look at you. I've never heard you admit that. I've never heard you admit that. You're just like, typically, just go to college, no matter how much it costs, no matter what it does to your whole entire life.
I want people to go to college, but I think a lot of colleges cost too much. Look at you. Specifically, the ones that cost too much are a lot of the private schools. Like, I think state education is a lot more affordable. And in particular, community college education is really important and it's really affordable. And I think it should be more widely available because as an employer, I will tell you that I would like to have more skilled workers. I'd rather, instead of giving someone a higher minimum wage, I'd rather give them the opportunity to earn a higher wage by giving them more skills and development. Now, look, that might make me seem like a Republican. That might make me seem like I'm out of touch. But as a business owner, I will tell you, like some of our businesses are in places where the minimum wage has gone up. It hasn't gotten us a better worker. In a lot of cases, it's caused a lot of businesses to close and some employers to try to figure out how to do more with less people. And so again, criticize me if you will, but I like this idea of investing in our people. I think when I think about my own life, the thing that has changed my life economically the most has been education. And I think it should be more widely available.
I completely agree with that. Now, the other thing that we have to talk about, right? Because this is what everybody's been talking about, taxes. There's going to be tax hikes. Who's going to get their taxes raised? And that's where the Made in America plan comes in, which I don't really appreciate. You know what I mean? Because I feel like Jay-Z and Roc Nation have really taken hold of the slogan of Made in America. It don't need to be the one about taxes. Like, just call it the American tax plan brought to you by Biden. Whatever it is, it's going to be. But that's what people want to hear about. What's going on with the taxes?
Yeah, he's going to have Frank Ocean on the hook singing, "We're going to raise your taxes."
Listen, we can't afford Frank Ocean because we have to pay for the vaccine.
So this is the chickens coming home to roost part of the plans, right? We've got to pay for all this stuff.
There you go. That's all I've been saying this whole time.
Yeah.
That's all I've been saying.
We've got to pay for all this stuff.
Not only do we have to pay for the vaccine, listen, okay, for people who are vaccinated, you've gone to these centers that have been set up in coliseums, right? Arenas, churches, schools.
Parking lots.
These people getting paid, okay? Like, this is labor, okay? Some of these people are volunteers and it's really appreciated. But especially when you see like the National Guard there, if somebody's got on some sort of uniform, the people who are actually giving you shots, those are not volunteers, right? Like, we've got to pay for these people. We've got to pay for these setups. We got to pay for these vaccines. And that is where the Made in America tax plan comes into play.
By the way, I wonder if the people that administer the shots, if they're even like nurses.
We don't want to ask. My shot was administered by the National Guard. Like, he had on a uniform head to toe and he had no regard for my life whatsoever because, you know, like, people are supposed to give you like a 1, 2, 3 or are you ready? He said, "What?" And then I had a shot.
What did he say?
And he stabbed it into my
arm. What did he say?
That was it. Like, I never got a 3. It wasn't soft.
Oh, that was a count?
Yeah. It was not soft or subtle. You know, quantity. Quantity, not quality.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I at least hope he was a military nurse. I will just say that, and not just a random, you know. Well, what are those people who like sign up but they don't ever go nowhere?
They do go. You're talking about the National Guard.
No, not the National Guard.
So you're talking about the
Like, damn, the reserves. ROTC. Yeah, like
the reserves get sent into the action. Like, okay, a lot
not
of my
them. It's no. Some people who sign up but they don't go nowhere.
No, that's the reserves. They're getting called in to do this COVID work, but they often get called when there's a war also. They go places.
I'm specifically talking about the people who don't go nowhere. I'm fine with you administering the vaccine to me. I just hope, like you said, I just hope these people have some sort of training and license because we don't ask, like, and we are paying them.
Yeah.
Either way, let's get back to the taxes. So yes.
Made in America.
Made in America. The Made in America plan is the tax plan. And there will be raises. The highest raises will be on corporate tax.
Mm-hmm. And also on individuals who make more than $400,000 a year.
Yes. And so this is not shade. Okay?
Okay. I think this is about to get
it's
shady.
It's not shady.
Okay.
Okay. I love y'all. Y'all love me. I hope. Alan just mentioned, as we just mentioned, the major tax hikes will be corporate tax and for individuals making more than $400,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to add and that also file taxes.
Okay.
The people who get on social media and raise hell and try to create just salacious worry around these tax hikes are not making $400,000 a year.
Do they have corporations at least?
They don't have corporations. They damn sure might not even have jobs. And if they have jobs, they're not paid. Like, the people who cause so much hurrah and just insanity around Biden's raising taxes, Biden's raising taxes, he's not talking to you. And probably most of the people listening to you don't qualify. Hopefully you will one day. But like, I personally think people are always talking about taxing the rich, Jeff Bezos, you know, all these Warren Buffett's, like, you know, all these people, they need to pay their taxes. That's all that Biden's trying to do. He is trying to make the people, the wealthier people, pay more taxes. That's not an issue when you hear it in full context. When you hear Biden's just going to raise our taxes and you start freaking out, like, we just want you guys to have a full understanding of what's actually happening and if it's actually happening to you.
Yeah. So let's just break down the tax ideas, right? Because again, we don't know if this is going to pass or not, but what's been talked about is raising the corporate tax from 21% to 28% and also making a minimum tax for corporations of 15% because there's a lot of corporations that pay zero.
And that's insane, right? Like, I don't know anybody, regardless of what you make, who pays less than 15% in individual taxes.
Yeah.
So these corporations should certainly, finally, at least be paying a minimum of 15%.
They also want to raise the highest income tax for individuals from 37% up to 39.6%. I also think that's reasonable.
That's very reasonable.
They're also discussing raising the capital gains tax for people who earn more than $1 million a year to 39.6% from 20%. Like, that's going to hurt. That's painful.
I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
This doesn't apply to me. I am not this person yet, but if you're going to double my taxes, that's aggressive.
Yeah. We met a prospect who, I've never heard anyone say something like this, but I respected it so much. He said, you know, my wife and I, we grew up in public housing. We grew up on welfare. And I believe the government will do a better job of reallocating resources to the poor than nonprofits and businesses. And so I'm happy that my taxes go up. I'm like,
that's dope. Like, that's a dope way to think about it. If you genuinely believe that the government is going to do right by the funds, I think that's a really great way to think about it, right? Because as I continue to say, maybe Bidenomics is just realizing that somebody going to pay for all these things, right? All these things have to get paid for. Government assistance, COVID, unemployment extensions, federal unemployment increases, the labor of whoever is rolling out these COVID vaccinations. All of these things in America, we have to pay for them. And this Biden tax plan is setting it up so that the wealthy and the corporations are the ones that are on the hook for getting these things paid for. I don't know if I'm mad about it.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at that. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out. Momentum.
So we're back.
Yes.
We're trying to talk about Bidenomics. I keep throwing us off. So just be clear, for y'all who are listening, we really do have an agenda for the things that we want to cover. I'm the one who typically gets sidetracked. I'm the one who typically goes off on the tangents. My bad.
Our listeners love you, Tiffany.
I hope so.
We always get good feedback about Tiffany.
Is that? That's not true.
The one thing that people say, and yes, I appreciate when they say this, is that, you know, Tiffany,
can you please be nicer to Alan?
Yeah, and I'd like to ask the same thing.
Fall back. First of all, y'all don't know what I deal with off air, okay? It gets very difficult dealing with Alan.
Angelic.
Angelic, yeah. Off air, It's quite complex dealing with an Allen Boomer. And so I think what the energy that I give you is the energy that is earned.
Then I think I need a pay raise on our podcast then for dealing with your energy.
We don't get
too.
Paid. We get paid $0. If anybody thinks we get paid to be here, we get paid nothing. Okay. We get paid. We are doing this because we want to share this information and that is it. And we genuinely want you guys to do better. We get $0.
Yeah. But I will say that we do enjoy giving back.
100%.
Like, that's why we do this every week.
Yeah.
Like, we do this because we're helping some people. Like, I became a financial advisor to help people. I then learned that the people that you can get paid to help are the ones that don't really need a lot of help. Like, a lot of them are millionaires. And we have some of those as clients, but we can't take on everybody as
right.
a client.
We won't take on everybody as a client.
And if you don't have the dollars to be a financial advisor, it doesn't mean you don't need financial advice. So we give it out on the airwaves through the podcast.
Right.
And we feel great about it.
Me too.
Especially when y'all go online and give us positive reviews. That's the wind beneath our wings.
Yeah. And also subscribe. You know, I will tell you, last week we had a couple of these haters come back into our tweets.
We
did.
I didn't even see
we
that.
Did. And versus the last time. The last time I just turned my phone off. This time. I clap back.
Ooh.
And our listeners clap back too.
Yes.
So
help
shout
us
out to y'all
help
for
us
getting
out.
Involved.
Yes.
Because these are clowns out here. But to Alan's point, we solely do this because this information is valuable, especially to the Black and Brown communities. And we need to have it, right? Like, this is a part of closing the wealth gap. It's being informed, it's being educated, and making this information widely available to any and everybody, just to be able to do the right thing.
Absolutely. So before the break, we were really breaking down Bidenomics. We should keep on that topic. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to get paid for. I want to break down the government's budget and budget deficit for just a second. Our government spends every year $6.9 trillion. The money goes towards Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, defense, administration, interest on our debt. It adds up to almost $7 trillion. You know what our income is? You know what we bring in?
We bring in around a little over $3 trillion.
So that means 50% of what we're spending, we make. So it's like if you made $100,000 a year, but you spend $200,000 a year.
Yeah, America needs a financial advisor.
For sure. And so we finance that difference. Half of our government budget is financed from borrowing more money, right? And so when we are in a deficit spending situation, spending more than what we earn, we end up financing it with debt. Our country's debt level is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to be able to pay for all this stuff with higher taxes. And by the way, this deficit spending did not start with Joseph, what's his middle name? Biden?
Don't give me the lie.
Joseph Thelonious Biden, or whatever his middle name is.
I think it's an R.
R. Joseph Rodolfo Biden, whatever his middle name is. It didn't start with him. Like, the deficit really got bigger under Trump because we had a big tax cut in 2017, even though our economy was doing just fine. We're now trying to raise taxes on the wealthy and on the corporations because they're the ones who got a tax break in 2017.
Right.
But instead of using that money to pay their workers better, what did they do? They paid out dividends. They bought back stock. They did other corporate things that did nothing to really help Americans. And so what we're doing with all these plans is we're saying, look, we now need to pay for this stuff and we need to make sure the people who have the money are the ones paying for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I just want to make it clear, like, this is what they are trying to do.
Correct.
We don't know if any of this is going to work
out.
Not
done yet.
Right? And this is the information that's being shared with us, right? This is the information that the Biden administration is actually sharing with us. But we don't know all the full details. And again, we don't know if it's actually going to happen, right? Like, these parts of it sound really good and we hope they work. But to your point, there's the Senate and there's the House and there's Republicans. People have to get on board. And that's not a very easy thing to do. But this is the intention. This is the goal of what Bidenomics is trying to do right now, as far as we are aware.
Yeah, there's still whispers of some student loan forgiveness.
Listen, it's not a whisper.
That's not taking the forefront right now.
Listen, y'all know how I feel about this. If you have been listening to this podcast, every time you mention student loans, I'm on it. This is not a whisper. I'm hollering at it, okay?
Student loans.
Listen, so just to bring y'all up to speed on.
Oh my gosh.
This is the Tiffany report. Like, it's not based in anything. So originally we heard about a potential $10,000 forgiveness, mm-hmm. right? And then we heard word that Big Money Biden was going to forgive $50,000 in student loan. But then he clapped back and was like, I ain't doing all that. He basically clapped back and said, I don't even have the authority to do that. It's not happening, right? But then he changed his tone, okay? He changed his tone and then said, hey, am I able to do that? Maybe I spoke too soon.
He's talking to himself.
Right, so now publicly. He's trying to figure out if this is possible for him to be able to do that, which then puts the $50,000 student loan forgiveness back on the chopping block. And that's where I'm leaving it at. Listen, I believe in a God, okay?
Oh my
and
gosh.
$50,000 in student loan forgiveness for Black people alone.
Oh my gosh.
Okay? Just a couple of things to take into consideration.
You don't even have $50,000.
That's not the point. My friends do, and sometimes we can't do things because student loan payments have to happen.
Okay.
If $50,000 in student loans are wiped clean for Black people, a couple of things. We boost the economy. We boost the economy fast.
That is
okay? If this is off our credit report and we no longer have to make these payments, we're buying cars, we're getting loans, okay? We will get this economy to wherever it needs to be very, very quickly. Also, homecomings will be quite different if this money is forgiven October. I'm just saying, so, we will go from...
So it sounds like you're saying we need the Biden homecoming America plan?
All I'm saying is, if you want to get reelected, forgive this $50,000 by October, okay? We will get your economy right. The stock market will be lit. And homecomings will be very different. You know how, like, typically, like... one friend in the group is responsible for bringing the Hennessy or like responsible for bringing the alcohol. Everybody's going to have their own bottle at homecoming. Like, or, you know, like you don't go to the games because you're not about to buy these tickets. We buying tickets to the games.
Mm.
We buying all new outfits. Retail numbers will be up
for
sure.
Okay.
We're renting cars this time. Listen, all the things that need to happen will happen. Biden, hear me out.
Oh my gosh.
If you forgive $50,000 in student loans,
we got you.
You will be reelected. Okay? You don't have to do nothing else right. You will be you know how many campaigns HBCU students will we will be doing fundraisers.
Oh my gosh.
It's just okay. I'm sorry. That's my bandwagon. I have to get off of it. Anybody who works in the Biden administration that listens to this podcast, let him hear this. Let him know we are serious, and you won't have to, you could fire your whole campaign team if you forgive us on this $50,000.
Okay.
Or just consider it reparations. Either one is fine.
Thank you for that, Tiffany. That's great. So you mentioned stocks. Like you said,
yes,
that, you know, if the stimulation comes, you will stimulate right back.
Yes.
That's what's
sure.
happening in the stock market. The stock market is off to a great start this year. The market's up over 6% in the U.S. It's up over 5% globally. And one of the big differences this year, though, is that you're starting to see a lot of industries that did poorly during COVID are now jumping right back. So you're seeing airlines doing well, real estate's doing well.
Hotels,
even cruise ships. Cruise ships are still not floating. Is that what you call it? Floating? They're not,
they not
sailing.
Outside. They not out there.
But cruise ship stocks are going up. What you're seeing, though, is that this is even in the face of a corporate tax hike, in the face of potentially higher taxes.
Because that's not to us. I mean, just to be honest with you, right? Like, the corporate tax is not, that's not what's fueling the economy. Like, their taxes going up, like, these corporations are not what's fueling the economy. It is the everyday person. It is the retailer. It is the consumer that fuels the economy. We are always going to be the backbone of the economy. We are always going to be the backbone of the market. And so whatever does happen needs to happen in favor of us when it comes to wanting to, quote unquote, rebuild the economy.
So, the way this is impacting the market, all of these plans are viewed positively by the market, even though corporate taxes might go up, which means the profitability of some stocks might go down just a little
bit. When's the last time Jeff Bezos has been on a United flight? When's the last time he bought a flight?
I would suspect it's been a while.
Right? They're flying private. They're not the ones fueling the airline economy, okay?
Okay.
Ask Spirit who's buying these $99 flights to Miami.
That's a fact.
Okay?
That's a fact. So the stock market likes all this. They like the idea that a lot of the Biden stimulus plans are very stimulative to the economy, even though there's a plan on raising corporate taxes and taxes on the rich, because we've got to pay for it somehow. So the stock market's doing really well. Again, the stock market is up 6% this year. That's only through March. It's up even more if you look after March. It's up over 56% in the last 12 months. There's been a really strong bounce back after COVID, but the bond market, not so much, right? The bond market does not like all of this because we're financing ourselves with debt. The more debt we have, the more in the future we're going to have to raise interest rates to be able to attract the dollars to pay for all of this stuff. So bonds are down this year. Bonds are down like 3% through the end of March. The expectation is that interest rates will continue to go up a little bit, not crazy, but go up a little bit. And it's because of this notion of the debt that our country is in, we've got to be able to pay for it. And when there's such a large amount of debt, rates have to go up to be able to entice people to give you the money. And so one thing I'm worried about is that there's somebody out there who owns bonds, who saw that they've gone down in value, and now they're saying, I don't want to own bonds anymore. Right. I think everybody should continue to own bonds.
Yeah, bonds is something that we think is really important when we think about diversification. Right? Like we always talk about having a diversified portfolio. I like to say that stocks are the cake and bonds are the vegetables. Like no matter how much you don't like them, no matter how much you don't want to eat them, no matter how good they might not be, you will always need vegetables to make sure that you maintain a healthy balance. And so bonds, even with what's happening right now, even though they may not be as attractive as they normally are, you still need to own them.
Absolutely. Bonds are just they're a core part of a diversified portfolio.
Yeah, they are more of a safe bet, right? They are things that help us offset volatility, right? Like when you hear about these market crashes and it's been a really bad day, bonds are oftentimes the things that hold just a little bit more stability.
I'll give you just a frame of reference. The first quarter of last year was a horrible year for stocks. Stocks were down about 34%. The first quarter of 2021 is a horrible year for bonds. They're down 3%.
34% and 3% are very different.
So even though we're worried about bonds, you should still own them because they are very, very safe investments overall. A bond, again, is similar to a CD from a bank. You give them your money, you get your money back plus interest. You'll never make a ton of money that way, but you certainly won't lose a lot. And being down 3% isn't that big of a deal in the long run. So what else are we seeing in the market? We're also seeing Bitcoin go crazy. Bitcoin in the last year is up 800%.
Yeah, just cryptos in general.
Absolutely. We like that people are looking at cryptocurrencies. Just don't go too crazy.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like there's a lot that we don't know about cryptos and how they work. And there have been some really, really great days lately. And there's also been some really, really bad days. But because there's lack of regulation, lack of full understanding, please don't put all of your retirement, please don't bet it all on these cryptos. Like definitely diversify, learn, play around for sure. But be mindful that none of us know what's actually going on, and you don't want to bet the farm on these cryptos.
Yeah. So even though we're seeing folks like Tesla saying they've moved $1 billion into crypto,
they got $800,000 billion. So it's fine. It was like $8 today.
Yeah. Because crypto is very volatile, it can't be a major place where you have 50% of your money. The professionals who say that you should add crypto to your portfolio, they're saying maybe 1 or 2%. At Momentum, we've never added cryptocurrencies to people's portfolios, but if we did, it'd be in that range of 1% to 2%.
Right, and we also do not stop them, or maybe we even encourage them that if that's something that they're doing on their own for their own personal satisfaction and learning, feel free to do that.
So in conclusion, Bidenomics, I think we've explained it really well. The bottom line is that there's a lot going on. Your best defense is to be diversified. It's not adequate diversification to own a bunch of different stocks, right? You've got to own a bunch of different types of investments. So a bunch of different stocks, but also a bunch of different bonds.
So maybe some alternatives. We're thinking maybe gold, some commodities, real estate. There's a variety of different things. Again, when we talk about diversification, we're not saying a bunch of different of the same thing, right? Like not a bunch of different stocks, but to Alan's point, stocks, bonds, alternatives, cryptos, private equity. There's a number of things out there. That is what we mean by diversification. And so even in a Bidenomics era, in anybody's era, diversification is always going to be your best defense, regardless of who the president is. But today we did our best to try to talk about what's happening now or what is trying to happen, right? Like all of these things are still in play for the most part. And so please watch them, watch out for them, because as we mentioned, some of these things are great opportunities for you. And for others, if you are making a certain amount of money or you own a corporation, you need to know how this may impact you.
Absolutely. So I think we had a good time today.
I think so. My bad on the tangents. I just have a good time talking to you guys.
Everybody loves you, Tiffany. Come on.
Hopefully.
You know that.
We'll see.
Well, keep listening. Make sure that you download our podcast. Listen to it on the major podcasting platforms, because they count our listenership. And that's how we get promoted to other listeners.
So, I don't know if listenership is a word, but sure, they count our listeners. We could have just left it right there. Also, go to thenorthstar.com. Check out some of the other podcasts. Just read up on other things that are going on in this world, from social justice issues to just a variety of issues. And shout out to Willis, Ray, Sean for giving us a platform.
Yes.
We really do appreciate it. Thank you guys for continuing to listen. And we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum. Momentum.